Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
All right, let's get to the news. Round number two. 7:04, the great Dawn Stenslin.
And good.
That was a good snort.
Greg got it. That was a,
God. That was a 9.2.
Yeah. Do Olympic ratings on that one, Nick.
One snort. Everybody knows the rule.
So we, Kale Company News Live, we are sponsored by Natural Lawn of America this Monday morning, February 24th. We have warmer weather on the way. I think you're going to love the forecast. We have been talking a lot about this huge industrial fire in Montgomery County that affected as well Philadelphia County. The cause of that fire at SPS Industries remains under investigation by the Abington Fire Marshal, as well as the feds at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Because remember, that all started a week ago with a big explosion. We still don't have a cause of the fire, but we do have our first lawsuit. And this is a class action lawsuit filed on behalf of those impacted by that huge fire at SPS Technologies in Abington Township, Pennsylvania, Montgomery County. It forced the closure of schools, forced evacuations, disrupted SEPTA service in the area. Big industrial building on Highland Avenue, Montgomery County, on fire for nearly a week after starting Monday night 1 week ago. It would be 1 week ago tonight, and the fire was finally put out on Saturday. So this class action lawsuit fired by two huge local law firms, high-profile law firms that have also covered people, for example, in the deadly 23 West Reading chocolate factory explosion and as well the explosion in Philadelphia's Port Richmond neighborhood. But this one began actually with a bus driver. The lead plaintiff in the lawsuit lives in the area of the fire, works as a local school bus driver for one of the nearby school districts, and had said that they have lost wages and as well was impacted by living near the site. So that was the lead plaintiff. Now it's turned into a class action.
I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bus driver ticked off. Don't blame her. Actually, at my gym, one of my neighbors came up to me and said that he actually worked in that building, and he didn't want to reveal his name. He said, I can give you just a couple of bits of information. He said management and leadership has been very slow to follow up with next working marching orders if you work inside that building. We were just having this conversation yesterday.
Really?
Just realized that, yeah. Guy lives two houses down from me, knows what I do for a living, saw me at the gym and came up to me and listens and said, because you've been reporting on this pretty much every day for a week now.
Yeah, so they're saying that there were some chemicals of concern detected. They're continuing to do samplings from water from nearby waterways, creeks, and as well air samples. EPA is involved. They're still monitoring the air quality. And so Governor Josh Shapiro thanking law enforcement. We've talked about that. But in this case, they're saying that this is a big military subcontractor, that they're blaming them, saying that they did not responsibly take care of their company and monitor things. So now it's a big lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. I can see
looking
that.
For that settlement.
Makes sense to me.
So we've got that one going on, just updating you on a story from last week. We also have the story we've been updating you on since 6 a.m. when we start. And this is an off-duty Camden County police officer, on-duty Camden County uniformed police officer stabbed for no reason. This came out of nowhere. In the neck, in a senseless act, as they're calling it. He is in critical condition this morning. 28-year-old officer in critical but stable condition at Cooper University Hospital this morning. So the word from law enforcement is please pray for him, his recovery and as well for his family during this time. But we know that a suspect, 38-year-old Richard Dennis, has been charged with attempted murder of law enforcement and is in custody. That happening pretty quick.
This was an unhoused person, Don Stensland?
Unhoused person.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
That's how you have to describe it.
Yeah, an unhoused person.
Richard Dennis, a.k.a. Dick Dennis, Double D.
This officer was doing nothing wrong. This was unprovoked, and this savage came up and stabbed him in the neck, right?
Yes.
I have this unhoused person. Okay.
Every neighborhood deserves a Daniel Penny on standby for this.
Yeah. Just gross. It's just
well,
gross.
Speaking of a Daniel Penny, we do have an officer down in Pennsylvania, Andrew Duarte, and the word this morning is please pray for his family, his loved ones, his parents, as he was an only child, just turned 30 years old. May he rest in peace, as he has been credited with saving lives. That word from York County officials, his family. This officer was killed, five others injured and recovering this morning after this shooting that happened inside a central Pennsylvania hospital. UPMC staffers badly shaken. The suspect shot and killed himself. The suspect identified as 49-year-old Diogenes Arcangel Ortiz. He stormed that hospital over the weekend with a handgun and zip ties. The only thing we know about this guy, they believe the suspect targeted the ICU at the hospital after being there earlier in the week with another person. So we don't, there was speculation that this suspect, who was shot and killed at the end of the day by law enforcement after he shot and killed one officer, injured others, but it sounds like he had come there as a patient or bringing someone else as a patient.
Mm-hmm. And was my guess earlier this morning in the first round. Yep.
So we also have many prayers in our region around the world for Pope Francis, who remains in critical condition this morning.
Are we on smoke watch?
It's interesting you say that. My sources have told me that if the Pope were to obviously not pull through, that there will not be a primary. They will just insert, the Catholic Church is going to install Kamala Harris as the new Pope. You have no say in it, folks, for all my Catholics out there. Actually, in all seriousness,
yeah.
Dawn, maybe I should know this. I've been in and out of the Catholic Church a few times in my life. How do they determine?
They vote.
So it'll be.
You haven't seen the movie.
No. Have we ever had a Pope pass away while presiding in that role?
Sure.
Of course.
Of course. Okay. Absolutely.
What planet did you grow up on?
Neptune.
Lord.
Some days I wish I was still there.
He's an alien.
There's some things that just
have gone over my head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you aware of the world before you started doing format?
And girls were girls.
I was in an insular I was in a woke sports bubble. That's why I bursted out of it. Well, I asked that because this Pope is very unpopular.
Yeah.
This is not a beloved Pope.
Schaaf is right. It's a white smoke, so you have to be careful.
Yes.
It's racist.
It is.
Well, you could, in all seriousness, there is the relatively new movie Conclave with
That won
Ralph
a bunch of
Fiennes.
Things last
it
night,
won,
didn't it?
Yeah, it won a bunch of awards last night at the
SAG-AFTRA
Awards. Did you vote?
No.
You didn't?
No.
My husband did. He's all into it.
No.
But to answer your question, Nick, there's a whole process, and that's what they do, the smoke, whether they... Anyway.
Peter M. says, if it wasn't from an episode of Married with Children, Nick has
It didn't happen.
Right.
If they didn't parody it on Married with Children, it's not worth covering.
See, that's why that was important. They needed to do it.
Were there any popes before 1984?
But in all seriousness,
what a great year.
Hopefully we don't have to do that because, right before Easter, that would be, calamity.
Sure.
So in any event, he's been on high flow oxygen therapy. It looks like, because he has low platelets, he's had this double pneumonia. And, so he's receiving a lot of therapy. He's hospitalized. So it, looks like he's in stable condition, but critical condition. Many prayers around the world. We've been talking about Joel Embiid may need knee surgery.
Oh, God.
It's funny. Isn't it ironic, Dawn?
I know, we just heard.
Friday night, Conklin says Joel Embiid asked Santa Claus for a meniscus for Christmas.
I know. Well,
now he needs surgery.
That's not too far off. I need a meniscus.
Oh, that was so good. I was crying.
Oh, it was so good. What a great show.
Mm-hmm.
And baseball is back, so yeah. It's exciting. And we have spring-like weather. Woo-hoo. We're in the 50s this week. Nearly 60 by Thursday, for crying out loud. So get out there and enjoy it. We are sponsored by Natural Lawn of America, because this spring-like weather, it makes Greg Stocker think about the green lawn, right? From organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes sure your lawn thrives naturally, beautifully, season after season. Choose Natural Lawn. Choose Natural Lawn. Get your free seeding every year. Call 1-800-FREE-SEED-NOW. I have used Natural Lawn for many years. Natural Lawn of America, they're awesome. It's nice to think about green grass growing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the grass is just, it's all brown.
I know.
Gross.
Muddy.
I need.
Hard.
I need. I need spring. Can we have spring, please?
The football withdrawal I went through, it really hit me this past weekend. Swear to God. Last weekend was fine, right? It was the day after the parade. You know, you want a little reprieve from the Eagles. This past weekend, I was like, can I just get to April? There's nothing to do. Thank God it was at least beautiful out yesterday. Took my dog for a walk.
No.
Fascinating.
He walked me, actually. Psycho.
And that's the other thing for your doggy. Natural Lawn of America. You know what I mean? That's why that was one. I hate to say it. That was like the first thing that got me, because it's safer for the doggy.
Yeah. Oh, buddy boy.
Oh.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much, Dawn. You're three.
And the kids and the husband.
Yeah.
You know, them too.
Right. It's always the animal first, followed by the kids, followed by the spouse. That's the pecking order. All right. So I saw this from Bloomberg on Friday, and I didn't even want to talk about it because I figured it wouldn't get covered. And then Fox picked it up over the weekend, and I'm not sure what other outlets are carrying this, but I do think it's worth mentioning because we just came off, and just, oh my God, the irony. I mentioned this last week on the show that Bill Gates had said, and as soon as Bill Gates says something, I immediately pull up my spidey senses because I don't trust that guy as far as I can throw him. But Bill Gates says there's about a 10 to 15% chance that we will have another pandemic in the next couple of years. So now the story is that there's a new bat coronavirus discovered in China, which is sparking pandemic concerns. Now, I don't like doing the fear porn thing. I'll save that for, you know, mainstream media. The most important thing here is that doctors, including Dr. Mark Spiegel, clinical professor of medicine at NYU Langhorne, says that the risk of this happening remains, quote, very low, as the binding is weaker and the virus is much less powerful. Much less powerful than SARS-CoV-2. So, obviously, COVID-19, first strand of it, obviously started killing a lot of people with pre-existing conditions, comorbidities, the 65-plus demo, immune compromised. And ever since, a lot of these variants and these strains have become less powerful and less powerful. So this one looks like it's in that category. But this is interesting because it was found by this lady who they refer to over in China as Batwoman. Her name is Zheng Li Shi.
Here we go.
And she's from Guangdong, which is a great name, by the way. I like that. Guangdong. Specifically the last part, Dong. D-O-N-G. She worked at
Guang with a G.
Yes. Yeah. Not guac, by the way. Guang. G-U-A-N-G. D-O-N-G. She worked at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which, oh boy, we've heard that before in China, which came under fire as the potential source of COVID-19 the first time around. Now, they're saying this new strain, which is called HKU5-CoV-2, is similar to SARS-CoV-2, which is the virus that caused COVID-19, because it targets the same human receptor. It latches on to, you know, things inside of your nasal cavity, inside of things inside of your lungs. And their concern here is that it will eventually, now they have claimed, and I'll just say they have claimed, it has yet to jump from species to species or have human-to-human transmission. In the study, though, they found that it infects the same human cells as well as artificially grown in your lung and your intestines. Dr. Mark Spiegel says, this is not time for panic. This is not time for concern. But this is a time in which we need to monitor this. Now, I mentioned Bill Gates and what he said, and I just sit here, and I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure these things out. First of all, let's go back to 2020. We're in the final year of Trump's presidency, and we, I think, ultimately realized that COVID was probably here in the United States in the fall of 2019. Then the media started picking up on it around the holidays of 2019, and it was exclusively reported on all the major networks, but it was a China thing. It was not an American thing. And then you start to see the cases reported and shared in the media in January of 2020, February of 2020. And then by March, it was full blown. It was widespread. We start shutting down professional sports leagues, businesses shutter, the whole bit. Dawn, I would like to think, with all of my skepticism aside, you know, well, who discovered this? Where did it come from? Was it man-made? Why are we even dealing with Wuhan and this Institute of Virology? I immediately texted my brother-in-law and sister-in-law over the weekend. I said, you know what? Why don't we just take a drastic step here? And maybe people are going to be like, that's overreactionary. You're causing fear porn. You're part of the problem. Why don't we just shut down all flights to China right now? Why allow this thing to make its way across the pond, right?
Bro, if it's in China, it's already here.
Then it probably already is here. But then, then here's what we do.
Once it's discovered, it's already here.
Because I'm not doing, and here's my stance. Vaccines, you want to take them? Go ahead. You want to wear a mask? Fine. I'm not doing the mandates on shots or masks. I'm not doing lockdowns. I'm not doing closures. You take the risk. If you feel like you're in danger, get the shot. If you don't, live your life. Should be as simple as that. I'd like to think the second time around with this administration in office, that's the way it will be. But we know at a state level, at a local level, there's separation of powers, federal, state, local. I'm just not doing that nonsense again. And here's my last thing, Dawn, because I know I'm bloviating. I want to get your thoughts. If we know that these things are going to pop up again, then don't wait to create a new vaccine. Why don't we get ahead of these things? It's like crime, right? Instead of being reactive, why don't we be proactive? Why don't we have, and we saw how long it took to roll out the vaccine. Remember, roll out. They're coming rolling out on the assembly line. Took like 2 or 3 months. If this thing takes off again in this country and it's a much less serious version, which maybe you don't even need anything for, you just get it, you deal with it for 7 days, you blow your nose and you're done with it. Have it in place so those who feel the need or definitely do need it can get it, and the rest of us can go on uninterrupted. That's my ask.
Okay, so back up for a second.
I know I said a lot, yes.
I know, but back up for a second and think about this, that we wouldn't know all of this information. We knew about the Bat Lady. We talked about her, you know, unfortunately, the first time around when COVID came out. But all of this is thanks to the fact that we have the House of Representatives controlled by Republicans as they were doing all of these investigations, had subpoena power. That's how we even know about a lot of this information and just moving back as far as learning the fact that the Department of Justice had investigated the nonprofit. This is that EcoHealth, right? And so part of this is it all winds back to what was our involvement in the United States of America. As far as this current, first of all, the so-called Bat Lady, and I was looking her up, wasn't she the one? Did they bring her to this country? Is she still over there with the Wuhan lab?
Well, one was kind of a whistleblower who was under a threat. Another one ended up dead. I mean, there's so many of these individuals that are involved in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I lose track of names and nicknames, but this lady is called Batwoman.
The Bat Lady, though, her name was She. And it's obviously spelled differently, but the whole thing with this is we wouldn't even know, just understand, we would not even know all of this information if not for the fact that, and it was late last year, I want to say December, mm-hmm. that report from the House of Representatives, thanks to the fact that Republicans, you know, do have that subpoena power, that's how we get all of this information now through these investigations.
Yeah.
And so a piece of this is they know about it.
Well, they know about it, but also let's forget the Bat Lady for a second. And let's forget talking about species to species. I think it was the FBI or the CIA, a couple of the federal agencies in the last year have come out with their reports where they've said it's possible to somewhat likely that this was man-made. So I don't give a damn about a bat woman. If this is being created by human beings with sinister intentions, which is my belief in the first case, I believe this was a man-made virus meant to kill people and derail economies and control populations, then let's totally gloss over Bat Lady. She's inconsequential
I disagree, though. She's important because I think that she is directly responsible for letting us know. I don't think she's responsible for COVID, but she's the one, Dr. Zhi Zhengli.
Yes.
She's the original Bat Lady. She's the one who's saying she discovered this bat strain.
Yes.
And that it can infect those cells by binding to the proteins.
Yes.
The other story about this, and I've been educated on this, is what coronavirus can trigger. You know what it can trigger? Things like the once rare autoimmune incurable deadly disease known as T1D, type 1 diabetes. That's what that virus can trigger. Mm-hmm. And that's why worldwide, all of a sudden, we have these cases, this explosion of T1D cases. And unfortunately, my teenage son, one of them.
Right.
And so he's part of a study of multiple, you know what I mean, because of all this. So it's important that we know about it. So I don't mind that piece of it, but the fact that they were investigating, the fact that it sounds like through these back channels, we were helping to fund illegal studies that
gain of function research is very dangerous. And there are many that want it shut down in general, not just the medical people out there, politicians, whether it's Rand Paul or Robert Redfield.
And so if the NIH and all of these different EcoHealth, whatever, if it's true that they were part of basically expediting a virus rather than learning about it and destroying it, then you know what? My kid deserves millions of dollars.
I do, too.
You know what I mean? There are people damaged by that.
Yep. 855-839-1210.
And their lives shortened.
Yeah, absolutely. Harry Mays will join us in about 20, 25 minutes for a riveting edition of Monday's What's on the Cut Sheet. Up next, Elon Musk, Donald Trump take a chainsaw through what's left of USAID. And also, Kash Patel has his right-hand man. We're back after this here on Kale & Company.
We were just talking about Natural Lawn of America because when choosing a lawn care service, doesn't it just make sense to hire a company that'll provide the better results and that it's safer for your family and for your pets? And that's why I've chosen Natural Lawn of America for years. That's my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing great, greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and your pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. Don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn Safer services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today. Do this. You get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, just call Natural Lawn 1-800-FREE-SEED, 800-FREE-SEED, 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So a couple of things here on the Trump administration, DOGE, and cabinet front. I thought it was pretty interesting. I just saw this during the break. One of our guests that we have on from time to time for some deep political voting analysis is Athan Koutsourambis. Good luck spelling that last name from Real Clear Politics. And he tweeted out the following. Drank water from a garden hose, watched MTV, rode bikes until the streetlights turned on, had a job by high school. Meet Team Gen X. And in the tweet, he has the five pictures as well as the birth dates of, and I'm going from oldest to youngest of Gen X, Pam Bondi, your attorney general, born in 1965. Dan Bongino, who was officially labeled the deputy director to Kash Patel of the FBI last night, born in 74. Born in 1980 was Kash Patel and Pete Hegseth. And born in 1981, I believe that's the last year of Gen X, because I missed the cutoff by 2 or 3 years.
It was 81, yeah.
81, okay. Yeah. Tulsi Gabbard. So last night we get news that Bongino will become the deputy director under Kash Patel. And I've been waiting, and I know last week Bondi said, yes, we are going to release MLK, JFK, and the Epstein files. So that's going to come under Pam Bondi. I would also think under Bondi, but maybe to a lesser extent, under Kash and Bongino. I want to know all of the details that the FBI has on Thomas Matthew Crooks and Ryan Wesley Ruth, the two attempted assassins of Donald Trump. And if Bongino can cash checks with his ass like he can with his mouth, he's going to be a part of exposing all of that. And if he doesn't, I'm going to rip him for being a big hot air balloon and talking a great game, but falling in line with everything he criticizes when he becomes a part of what he criticized. But also last night, I thought it was interesting, another 2,000 members of USAID gone. So when we look at this, Trump the first time around, and now even the second time around when he was running, said he was going to drain the swamp. He was not able to drain the swamp the first time around. Right now, though, as we begin, technically, I think this is month number two of the Trump administration, he's not only trying to drain the swamp, but I would say through 30 days, he's stomping a mud hole in it and he's walking it dry, right? I mean, there is nobody that is safe and secure and free from repercussions, at least responding to an email, if not flat out losing their job. And I just want to tie this together for a second to last segment. Remember, we were talking about COVID. Here's a prediction, and you guys can jot Jimmy Kelly, mark the tape, as they used to say back in the business. If this coronavirus ends up in America and it's like a mainstream news talking point,
it's already here.
I know, but like coverage-wise.
Gotcha.
You know, if CNN starts putting the tracker back up on the television, make no mistake about it, what the media and Democrats will do, they will say, now we in the Trump administration living through this second term are ill-equipped to deal with it because Trump took a chainsaw to the CDC when he let 10% of their employees go, when he withdrew from the World Health Organization, and when we did all of this stuff with all of the NIH, remember that? That was in the news in the last 2 weeks. Get ready, Dawn. They're waiting for it. They're going to sit there and say, well, Trump took it from 50,000 employees and he got rid of 1.7% of those employees. Now we're ill-equipped to deal with a lesser strain. Your thoughts so far on this whole Doge gutting experiment? I absolutely love it. And I don't, and again, let me just say, I do feel bad for those that lose a job living paycheck to paycheck, because pretty much everybody listening to this show, I think if you're being honest, even if you're financially responsible, you know, can you go 4 weeks without a paycheck? Perhaps. But most of us probably can't last more than 90 days without a job and a salary and a check we're drawing from. So I get it. But it's a necessary evil. And it's what we voted for, right? At the end of the day, it's the most important thing. This is what Americans wanted.
It is. And so here's the thing. The Democrats have, what they're doing is, and what the left-leaning media has been, you know, going along with, they're looking for something that'll stick that they can run on or that they can be critical of. And so what they found was initially, and even still, Doge and the idea of making government accountable and cutting out the waste because our taxes are too high mm-hmm. is extremely popular. Every piece of the polling shows that. So what they found now is, oh, well, you can't be mean about it. And
right.
Elon is mean and he's, you know, obtuse or apathetic.
Yep.
And so therefore this is their, you know, now they're holding these town halls, staging these town halls where they can produce a photo op, if you will, because it's all this, the media, The media are complicit in general, all media. I believe that. And so that's what this, that's really what this is.
You make a great point.
Leading the talking point. Okay, how do we illustrate that? Oh, we need town halls and get people who are upset because they're not being nice, because then the media will have video and audio of, you know, real people across America. They're very upset about this because we want to influence
that's,
the polls.
That is exactly what they are doing. And I've seen it now from a couple of Democrats in office on television talking about this, as well as the media. It's not that we don't it's not that we disagree that we need to downsize some of the federal government. We just don't like the methodology in which Trump and Elon Musk are utilizing, right? So it's, again, it's not so much attacking the policy. It's attacking the presentation of the policy. And it's just too ruthless. It's too cutthroat. It's too quick. I believe it was Carville. I guess Dan Abrams now has a podcast because, well, who the hell doesn't have a podcast, right? Dawn, do you have a podcast? I don't have a podcast. Greg, do you have a podcast?
Dawn does 6 hours of radio a day.
Yeah, Dawn, if you launch a podcast, I'm going to have to question your your work-life family balance, because 6 hours of radio, there's no need for a podcast.
If I did a technically, they take bits and pieces of what we do
and make it a podcast.
Sure. And you can find it on the Odyssey app.
Right.
But if I did like a separate podcast,
right,
that would be, you would know that I was trying to avoid, I don't know, avoid my husband or something.
Like, if you launch a podcast live from a minivan with MAGA bumper stickers, I'm going to actually have to question. It's a sellable idea. Yeah. We should send that down to Scopinich. I'll work on that. I'm a man that's trying to help everybody out. But, I mean, so Carville said to Dan Abrams.
We're still trying to get Gailey elements sold, but go on.
We'll work on that. That'll be 2028. So Dan Abrams and Carville said that and I'm paraphrasing here, that the federal government is going to bottom out in the next 30 days, because essentially implying that what Trump is doing is too quick and too reckless, which I don't think it is. I really don't.
Look, I think people like the, first of all, nobody can take away from DOGE some of the spending that is shocking and was basically finding loopholes in even congressional approval to send the stuff to these non-governmental entities and then billions of dollars just fund all these crazy programs that were sent overseas.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot deny that it happened, and they've proved that. The DOGE monitor says that they've been able to find $55 billion of waste, although some have said, well, it's not that much, or, oh, that's only a tiny percentage. Well, not for nothing, but I care that $55 billion right off the bat, in a couple of weeks, they found that money.
Yeah.
I think that's significant, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I support that. And they're really ripping on Elon because he received the chainsaw from the Argentinian president, which was more a symbol overall of Argentina finding government waste. It was not directed at human beings, but that's what they're saying. They're saying, oh, this was, you know, so apathetic to the workers.
Yeah. It's just amazing to me that the left is willing to call Trump Hitler, but they're offended by Elon Musk with a chainsaw on stage because he's doing some theatrics. Give me a break with this. You can't be in your feelings on one thing and then be totally fine with labeling somebody Hitler 2.0. Like, give me a break.
It's just that the media reported? I mean, honest to God, when has the media reported the layoffs? That layoffs were happening in the private sector, and goodness.
When with
empathy.
When radio stations get cut, they're usually in, you know, newspapers, right? Locally here.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Are they interviewing everybody?
No.
Are they interviewing people?
Well, most of us wouldn't be allowed to speak after we get, quote unquote, laid off anyway, because of the
there are layoffs,
non-disclosures.
But, I mean, there are layoffs not just in radio, in all kinds of sectors, especially
agreed.
Technology jobs happening right now. Thousands and thousands of, I think at least 10,000 people have been laid off within the past month.
Yeah.
How come they're not? Do you hear anybody reporting on those?
It's just amazing. Like, layoffs are nothing new. The government having access to your IRS personal information is nothing new. The only thing that has changed is the fact that there's a new administration and there are a couple of R's in front of their name. Because if Obama or Clinton or Biden would have delivered on what they were running on, which, remember, they echoed the same talking points 25 and 30 years ago, they'd be like, ah, yeah, good. Yeah, I agree. Trim some of the fat. Trump does it, and it's like, oh, my God.
If the media, just the so-called mainstream media, if they had equally interviewed people, let's go back to the pandemic or post-2020, and looked at all the business losses, like here in Philadelphia, businesses that burned down, people lost everything during those riots, businesses boarded up for weeks, National Guard had to be called in. If they interviewed all the business people, the owners, and these are small mom and pop places that lost everything or near everything, near bankruptcy. If they interviewed all the cops or firefighters or municipal workers or just in general, all the people who lost jobs or took pay cuts during COVID or post-COVID, but they never did. And so there's an agenda here, and don't fall for
it. It's funny you say small business owners and Doge in the same sentence. My wife has just recently been retained by her old dance studio in Tennessee to essentially be the Doge of the facility to weed out the fat and get it profitable again. Speaking of Doge, I think a man who he might have actually interviewed for the position in the recent days and weeks is Harry Mays, who might have invented Doge 13 years ago in sports radio. Hello, Harry.
Good morning. I can't stop saying Doge. I say it all the time and just walk around my house saying Doge.
I want to Doge everything.
Doge.
It's like Homer Simpson. Don't.
Yeah. But I mean, it's an acronym that has taken on a life of its own. Like, it's become its own thing.
Yes.
Like, you know?
Yes.
Like, I want merch. Like, is there Doge merch?
There 100% is, by the way.
Yeah, I think that little logo with the little dog and the
hat.
Yeah,
you have to go to the Elon Musk website and get it, I think, whatever that is.
I already pay him to be on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm not paying him for a t-shirt.
If he wants 120 tweets a day.
Yeah.
It is absurd, the level that he tweets.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Yeah. Makes me seem non-existent on the platform.
It's worse than you. Yeah, all right, can we get to this, please?
What?
Keep the show on track.
The cut sheet.
What's on the cut sheet on this? What's today?
Monday.
Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, you hear a squeal or a grinding noise. No way. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever important Monday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Usually, there's 37 million. Cuts.
Yeah. Harry picks a good day of the week to join the cut sheet.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
A lot of stuff happens.
Yeah. Phil, do you have the cut 33 I just sent you? Let me see if we put it up in there.
By the way, you can go to doge-tracker.com.
Check your email,
if you would like to see.
Doge dot what?
Doge.
Dot tracker.
It's not dot. It's Doge.
Oh. Doge tracker.
Hyphen. Like a hyphenated last name, doge-tracker.com.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not going to pay for the t-shirt, but if they want to send us some free merch, I mean, I'll definitely wear it.
$51.80 billion saved.
They say.
Yeah, allegedly.
Some of their numbers.
I'm reporting the doge-tracker.com.
One of them they got wrong by a zero. It was like supposed to be 8 billion, and it was 8 million.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the left pounced on that, but I'm like, okay, that's a big mistake. I get
it. That's a big mistake.
But still, $8 million for Disney, Disney in Iraq. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really change the edict here, so to speak.
I see you pulled what I just said. I actually want to start because my mind wandered. So I want to start since these guys are talking about Doge. I actually want to start here with cut four. We talked last week about the dividends, the money that the households are supposedly going to get back for. The savings, right?
Yeah, Doge dividends.
Well, over the weekend, my friend Michael Smirkanish went viral because he had on Michael Fishback. He's the creator. He's the dividend creator of Doge. Like, I guess this was his idea or something. I don't know.
Okay.
And Michael wanted to know, we're $36 trillion in debt, right? So shouldn't the savings go to pay the debt down, right? I mean, wouldn't that make sense?
It's one of the two valid fair options.
Okay.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. They kind of went at it. And Michael, for, you know, I worked with him for 10 years. And he does not like the shouting of back and forth. So he told this guy he was going to mute his microphone.
Oh, wow.
He basically called the timeout during this, which... Oh. You know, like, bro, you've been in radio for 40 years. You can't, you know, have a spirited debate about something. I mean, then why are you on cable news if you can't do this?
Right.
This went viral. So let's roll a little bit of this, Phil, please.
He's fraud and abuse. And by the way, James, I hope that he is. I don't like the approach, but I like the fact that something's being done. There is no money in the till. We owe $36 trillion. We owe $106,000 each. So whatever the savings ought to be, it's not like President Trump's doing us a favor by giving us 20%. Everything ought to go to the debt because the Peterson people say by 2050, 50% of all revenue is going to go to satisfying interest on the debt. We should be paying the debt. Your response?
My response is this. We should be paying the debt, which is why the Doge dividend incentivizes every American to call out waste, fraud, and abuse, to lower the budget, to narrow the deficit, and to bring down the debt. Where was this emergency over the debt when we sent $350 billion to Ukraine to be wasted? Where was this emergency, Michael, on CNN when you guys were advocating $7,000 to migrants in Chicago? $7,000 a month per migrant, and now we want to spend $5,000 one time from President Trump to hardworking Americans. The migrants didn't deserve $7,000 a month. Hardworking Americans deserve a $5,000 check with President Trump's name on it. So enough with the double standard. Ukraine did not deserve $350 billion.
Okay, listen to me. Listen to me. This is Madoff-like. This is a Ponzi scheme.
No, Ukraine was a Ponzi scheme. The migrant funding was a Ponzi scheme.
You're not going to divert.
Hardworking Americans deserve a break.
James,
it was their money, Michael.
You're not
gonna
divert
me. Money.
James, give me a chance to speak. Theoretically, it's my program. We don't have the money.
Oh, my program,
to tell you. It's a Ponzi.
So we didn't have the money for Ukraine,
like,
right? We didn't have the money for Ukraine. $350 billion.
I never do this. I don't want to be that guy. And do I have to silence your microphone so that I can respond to what you've said? Because there's so much fallacy in what you've just offered.
Please go
ahead.
I have a very simple
premise here. We're $36 trillion in debt. It's a fraud. As much as I want to see us cut waste, fraud, and abuse, it is an absolute fraud to say to the American people, because of what Musk is doing, we have $5,000 to give each of you. The only way we have $5,000 is if we're borrowing it, because we're that far in debt. I'm trying to meet you halfway, which is simply to say, what a good thing that finally we're going to look at waste, fraud, and abuse, albeit it shouldn't be in this haphazard fashion. But let's at least be honest with the American people that whatever we quote-unquote save, we already owe. Now I'm going to give you...
All right, so that goes back to what I was saying about 20 minutes ago. Well, the Democrats and the media, they like the concept, but they don't like the style in which it's unfolding. And here's why I think they don't like it. Because Trump is operating at such a fast speed, executive order after executive action, cutting this, cutting that, that the media can't even keep up. They can't parrot talking points for 24 hours, much less 24 minutes, before the next story from the Trump administration comes out. But to answer it, in the spirit of meeting halfway, like Smirkanish just said to his guest, here's how I would answer this. And I think our buddy Dom, who comes up at noon, nails it perfectly. He tweeted out two things that I want to mention. He says Speaker Johnson, Mike Johnson, says all Doge dollars should be used to pay down the deficit. Dom says, I say some money should be returned to taxpayers. That was my stance last week. Whether it's 20% comes back to us in $5,000 paychecks and 20% goes towards the deficit and then the other 60% goes towards the general fund. Harry, in your opinion, why can't it be a combination of both where we get some of the stolen tax dollars back because it's our money ultimately, and we also work towards paying off our debt? It'd be like my wife saying, Nick, here's $100. Go drink your face off at the bar tonight, but I'm also going to take $100 and pay off our MasterCard. It's a win-win for me, right?
Yeah, it's a win-win for you. I agree with both of those guys. I thought that was great television, by the way. Isn't that what cable news is? People yelling at one
another? Thank you.
That's all it is.
Thank you.
Right?
I'm gonna
yell louder than you, and I'm going to drown out your great talking point by shouting and screaming and giving my view. That's what cable news has been started in the 90s. That's all they've been doing.
You don't mute people's mics. Like, you just don't do that. You just, you know, you go back and forth to one another.
Well, you do by accident sometimes when Dawn's ready for a read and Stalker's got her faded down by accident. Dawn, let me ask you, Dawn. Let's just take this whole pie right here. Give me a percentage. What would you like to see paying off the deficit versus a kickback to us? Are you cool with half and half?
The kickback is merely a stimulus to the American people to help stimulate the economy. And I might add, they're not done. They're only 4 weeks into this DOGE. So they're right. going to cut more, and they have just begun. I'll also point out to you House of Representatives put forth a budget resolution for 2025. TikTok, they're working on the new budget, their deadline March 14th, but out of the House Budget Committee. And so it looks like they're paving the way. It could add at least $2.8 trillion to deficits. And so we've got to balance this budget. We've got to harness the situation. But at the same time, we've had people who have been ripped off. We've all been ripped off, and we've been damaged by a fraudulent government. And that's my answer to Michael, our friend, Michael Smirkanish. Michael, fraud? You want to talk about fraud? Yeah, the last administration, I feel I am a victim of fraud. I'm a survivor of the Biden fraud administration. And I believe I earned some damages here. And it would be an incredible stimulus idea, to put $5,000. Let's remember, what was his name? Andrew Yang? Oh, my God.
Yes. Third party guy.
Remember, he ran for president.
Yes, remember?
Yeah.
I liked his idea. He said $2,000. That was a much more honest assessment that he gave than the Biden fraud administration. They scammed us. We got played by the last administration. Shame on them. They're still looking for all the money that we were fleeced, the fleecing of America. Mm. So, we deserve some of that cash back. Well, you can call it whatever you want.
To your point, we have lost billions of dollars in COVID checks. Nobody can account for it. Zelensky is claiming they've lost billions of dollars in Ukraine. Now Elon Musk finds out what the spending is, and it's from our paychecks, and we don't get a kickback. That seems very, very hypocritical in my opinion.
I just love how we're now out of money.
Yeah.
Smirkanish says, we don't have the money. We haven't had the money, but yet we still sent it to Ukraine.
Yeah. Suddenly,
how are we not out of money when we sent them hundreds of billions of dollars?
Did Trump and Elon actually go to Fort Knox yet and look for the gold bars?
No.
Or are they in Bob Menendez's closet?
in his closet.
By the way, can I just play this real quick? I know we're going to have Farish on the show on Friday, but he, as President Trump, commented on the firing of Joy Reid.
Oh, God,
the canceling of the readout, I guess, is what you would call it, Joy Reid. We can discuss that afterwards. Nick did his big take on it. Roll Farish, please.
My fellow Americans, it is my great honor and privilege to say, alongside all of you, Joy Reid, you're fired. Get out. What a nasty person, right? It couldn't have happened to a nastier person, and she's an ugly person, too. She's an ugly person, one of the ugliest people, both inside and out. Joy Reid is so ugly, she makes Rosie O'Donnell look like Cleopatra. And I knew Cleopatra very well. She did a tremendous job in ancient Egypt. What a fantastic leader.
Sir.
But Joy Reid has been fired, and now we can officially retire the Joy Reid safety goggles. Prolonged exposure to Joy Reid can cause retinal damage, itching and burning of the skin of face, explosive diarrhea like Stacey Abrams after Pizza Hut, and projectile vomiting. We don't want that to happen, but now Joy Reid has been fired. Her ratings went down faster than Mitch McConnell on a flight of stairs, and just like Cocaine Mitch, she's fallen and she can't get up. And now we know that the hogs over there on The View, we call them hogs, we call it the zoo, they may be looking for a new cow, right? You look at her, Joy Reid, Can she fill that void? You look at her, you say, boy, she could definitely fill it. That much I can tell you. She can definitely fill it. So she may be joining the zoo as the newest cow on the farm. We'll see what happens. But it was the beginning of the end when Joy Reid decided to steal my haircut. She thought she could wear it better than me. That was her biggest mistake. Nobody wears that hair better than I do. And now she's out. That's the end of that era at MSNBC. As we promised, we would be entering a golden age of America after our beautiful election victory in November of 2024. And the golden age officially starts with the firing of Joy Reid. She's out. So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. The winning continues, and nobody is getting tired of it, believe me.
My God almighty. He did that Sunday morning when he rolled out of bed.
It's so spot on.
It's so good.
We laugh because it's funny, but I could actually see the real guy saying those things.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. You know, I talked about it in the big take. It's just a terrible recipe, and I think it's really a rejection, Harry and Dawn, of where we are. I think eventually people get tired of the same act, the same dog and pony show. You need to, and this is just my personal opinion, if you're in an opinion-driven business, you cannot beat the same story to death every single day. Harry, you and I know it. That's why we got tired of doing Philadelphia Sports Radio every day, because I don't want to bang on Jalen Hurts 20 hours a week.
We got tired of it, but that's still what they're doing.
That's what they do.
I just got tired of it.
Right, and it works for some people, but eventually all she did was make, whether it was Trump or not, and it was mostly Trump, but everything was about race and gender. And eventually your audience is like, do you have anything else to offer?
Yeah.
And she didn't.
Well, did they really ever have an audience?
Well, she lost 53% of whatever audience she had.
I don't know if she did, but like Maddow and stuff, she used to be in the top 10.
Right.
Like as far as, but I think she was the only one.
I think people
got
smart.
People
realized they were lying. They were making stuff up.
100%.
They were lying.
I've actually tuned into her show a few times for the first time in my life over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks.
It's brutal.
Just to see what happens.
Yeah.
She is totally unhinged.
She is. Yeah,
she's like a crazy cat lady.
You know what's funny is I don't even know liberals that watch, like, that watch her. I don't know anybody that watches her. Like, I know people that tune in to see Maddow, but, like, I've never seen anybody tune in to watch her.
She gets more run on the cut sheet than she does across the country on television.
And by the way, did you see what they're replacing her with? They're replacing her with a three-person panel with Simone Sanders, Michael Steele, and Alicia something.
Proof that they're not moving away from, they're just changing it up.
Exactly. They're not, they're doubling down on the progressive roots. They're just getting rid of her. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Because they had, this show was on the weekends. I guess it was doing well for them. So they're moving it. I think it's going to be 2 hours on Monday. They're going to do 7 to 9.
Wow. Oh boy. Wow.
Here's a little something you won't hear on that network. As far as Doge over the weekend sold this huge building that was acquired by the federal government. We the people, we bought this boarded up, condemned building back in 2003 for millions of dollars, just unloaded it, sold it, because we have a housing crisis. Sell it to some developer now who'll create it into apartments or condos, but it was an old Webster school building. Just sold it over the weekend, unloaded it for $4.1 million. And by the way, had $24 million in needed maintenance and liabilities. So not only did we get $4.1 million, but we avoid paying $24 million to fix it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's Doge. That's what they're doing. And they're saying, hey, it's a win-win. Some developer's going to take it, and now they're going to do something nice with it and maybe make it into housing or apartments for people.
And then charge 30% more than it's worth for rent.
Yeah. But that's, you know.
This is cut 33, Phil. Harry, this is actually the perfect day for you to be here. We reported this morning, and it's just a report. I think Eagles Nation was the first to report it on Twitter that the team voted, and it's been voted a resounding no that the Eagles will go to the White House. I don't know if you saw this report.
I did see that. Yeah.
First of all, do you believe the Eagles Nation report?
No.
You don't?
I don't. I don't believe any report anymore.
Wow.
I haven't watched the network news since the summer of 2020. I don't watch the news. I don't listen to anything.
Wow.
Except Kale and Company, of course.
Except exactly. Kale and Company, exactly.
Thank you.
That's where I get my news. And the Dawn Show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Sucking up.
Good answer.
We'll get you everywhere. This guy on Twitter, if you believe this is true, he thinks that the Trump administration should rescind the offer and actually give it to the American hockey team instead.
What?
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Roll this, Phil.
You're telling me that those incredibly talented American NHL players, when they heard those Canadians booing our national anthem, they dropped gloves and took care of business, and then they took care of business. And then you've got the Philadelphia Eagles that don't know if they want to go to the White House. I know who I would be inviting to the White House, and it would be the Philadelphia Eagles. Make it make sense.
So he thinks they should rescind the offer and give it to the American hockey team.
Well, I'll make it.
Well, go ahead, why can't he just invite the hockey team? I don't think he has to rescind the offer to the Eagles.
But why would you invite somebody that came in second place?
I mean,
make it make sense.
The country
rallied around those guys
for a couple of days.
Well, and
just bring the Kachucks in. You don't even need.
Well, didn't we? I thought
team.
We lost to Canada in overtime 3-2.
We did.
Yeah, so,
we did. But they're the best in America.
Yeah, in their final game. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So they're the best in America.
Nobody cares about hockey anyway.
Yeah, because they left Connor McDavid wide open in front of the net.
Yeah, ridiculous. You know what he's going to do? He's going to invite the Kansas City Chiefs back again.
Can you imagine?
Well, oh, that'd be awesome.
Can you imagine?
For the sake of content, yeah. I hope to God he does that.
By the way, there's a poll right now up on the YouTube page, youtube.com/at12. Oh, you did? YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. If the Eagles don't attend the White House, are you out on the birds? 56% right now say yes. 44%
I voted no.
Say, yeah, I voted no as well.
Yeah, 56% of people. Most of those people are lying.
So go over to YouTube if you want to vote. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD.
It's almost 300 votes on there already.
I know. It's crazy.
Another fun
fact.
I voted
no.
Yeah.
Lee Zeldin, your EPA chief under Trump, canceled another 21 wasteful DEI and environmental justice grants with the help of the amazing Doge team, racking up $67 million more in savings. That from Lee Zeldin.
Dawn reporting live from the Doge desk.
From Doge
this
headquarters.
This is as it's happening in real time, people.
Well, last week, Fox News had a Doge tracker at the bottom of the screen going through the amount of actions, the dollars, and the total transactions. It was reminiscent of the CNN COVID tracker 5 years ago. I would leave that up all day, like the bottom line. Yeah.
But it's amazing. That they worked awesome. Over the weekend.
Yep.
Well, they work 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. They never take off.
We talked about the Epstein files. Now that Kash Patel is the head of the FBI and Dan Bongino is his assistant, what files will be released and when? This is Attorney General Pam Bondi talking about the Epstein files. She's seen them. They are sitting on her desk right now, according to her. This is cut 18, Phil. Go.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients? Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing JFK files, MLK files. That's all in the process of being reviewed because that was done at the directive of the president from all of these agencies.
So have you seen anything that you said, oh, my gosh?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, we'll check back.
Nice try, John. Nice try, John. Let's go over to Sandra, who has something of more substantive value. Same rules apply to Bondi as they do Patel, as they do Bongino, as they do the man at the top, Trump.
You better deliver.
You said there will be no redactions, nothing withheld. I don't want to see. I've seen enough of those black Sharpies. Actually, I haven't. Black Sharpies are exclusively for executive actions, not for redactions. I'm going to copyright that.
That's good. That's a t-shirt.
Put that in the 1210 merch store.
Harry, your list of files you want to see released in order between Epstein, JFK, 9/11, RFK.
I'd go 9/11 and then Epstein.
What about the
one and two? I kind of think we know about JFK already, don't we?
What about the Thomas Matthew Crooks one? Oh,
that would be good, too. That's so new, though. I mean, do they even have a file on that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they do. Why wouldn't why wouldn't the Trump administration want to get to the bottom of that one?
I know. So, yeah, that is curious.
Like, why wouldn't that be the first thing they want released? Mm. In all seriousness. Like, yeah. If somebody took a shot at me and tried to kill me, that would be the first thing I would want to see. Like, find out what's going on with this guy.
I think Trump already knows.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
I do.
So
I think we already know about JFK, though, don't we? Do we really need that?
Not to be... Well, yeah, I think that's probably the one that we're all like, yeah, go figure. We knew that 50 years ago.
Yeah, we kind of knew that.
But I think RFK... I think RFK... See, we do the headlines, right? Yeah. We will say JFK. I think the more interesting one will be RFK.
Hmm.
Than his brother.
Okay.
So you don't believe Sirhan acted alone?
I don't... You know, I think we're going to find out.
Sirhan.
I think we'll find out.
Wasn't that his name?
Yes, it was.
It's a good pull by you.
Mafia. Yeah.
Let's rank these seven. Well, this will be a real homework assignment. We'll report back next Monday when Harry's on with us again. 9/11, Diddy,
yeah.
Epstein.
Diddy? Forgot about Diddy.
Yeah. Trump. And then MLK, JFK, RFK. There's seven right there. You've got MLK, JFK, RFK, Trump, Diddy, Epstein, 9/11.
Here's the thing about the JFK, why I would rank that first. Not because that's the one I'm most fascinated
first.
With, but I would rank that first because that tells the tale of 60 years of corruption. And if it starts there, then it's like what... It's like this domino effect.
Everything else is in play?
Everything else is in play then.
No,
you know
that's
what I mean?
A good point.
You got to go with MLK Jr., Martin Luther King Jr. You got to go with that.
That happened after JFK, though. So that's why I would start with JFK, and then if that's, then MLK. I would go in ascending order.
Oh, okay.
Or descending.
I would not go in chronological order. I would put number one Martin Luther King Jr. because I believe that what we're going to find out, that there was government involvement. The fear with MLK Jr. was that he was appealing to the everyday man, no matter what your ethnicity. And that was concerning with the government and Democrats in particular.
I still believe that if I'm the Trump administration, I would want to know the Thomas Matthew Kirk's thing and release that.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of suspect why they don't.
It is. The fact that we can't unencrypt or find out information on a 20-year-old cell phone. I mean, that should be, if I'm Patel, that's Bongino's first assignment.
But
dude,
I think
crack this case.
But I think the bigger question as well is that, remember the guy, even though we learned about him later, they knew, the feds knew that there was an assassin who came from the Middle East who was then arrested in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It was days before the Butler rally.
Right.
And they did not increase anything. So I'd like to know the chatter in between all of those. Who knew that? And why did they give him, I think, subpar agents? And remember, at that weekend, there were events for First Lady Jill Biden and Kamala Harris.
Kamala.
Remember Kamala? And remember, they beefed up the security.
They were all in Pennsylvania.
For Jill and for Kamala.
Right.
And not for the Donald.
Yes, you're
knowing that there was an attack, there was just a dude they arrested
from Iran
in Texas
that
they knew was there to assassinate Trump.
And wasn't that the first Trump rally that CNN was broadcasting live?
Yes,
that is correct.
Isn't that peculiar?
Yeah.
Like they would pick that one.
Yeah. Right. CNN is funny how they always show up. Well, who was it? Roger's house? Whose house did they somehow know to show up?
Oh, Roger Stone.
Right? Wasn't it Roger
Stone? Yeah, Stone's place
in Florida. They just happened to be outside in the bushes hiding.
At 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a coincidence.
By the way, too, on the which one would you like to see released? I'll tell you the one that I think has the most damning implications based on today. That's either Diddy or Epstein, because I think this crosses over into many arenas. This could be entertainment, politics, sports. This could be news media. I mean, the amount of people that are either knowing or were involved allegedly, I think crosses over to many different of our institutions.
But it's all blackmail.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's what I only know this actually from my teenage sons who pay attention to Joe Rogan and Alex Jones, all those theories. But I actually believe it makes sense that the thing Diddy and Epstein have in common is that the government got involved with them as far as because they had cameras everywhere. So now it's a blackmail situation. You've got some shake or some biggity big from around the world, and now the CIA or whoever, they have access to that person. So they say
you're compromised.
Right? Yeah, so they can say to Epstein or Diddy, you can do your freaky stuff, but we want access to the cameras that involve the shake or the blah, 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 you know, wealthy, powerful guy. Now we've got blackmail on that guy, and now that's
Prince Andrew,
right?
You just you just tell those boys of yours to listen to Kale and Company and say the hell with Joe Rogan.
By the way, Joe Rogan had Woody Harrelson on, and I have a clip of it. I defy anybody to get through 25 minutes of that conversation. It was so painful. It's like I'm out in the woods in 1995.
But they're high, right?
And and you know, we're all, you know, there's a keg and we're all smoking weed.
You're all going,
and we're having a conversation. That's what this conversation is.
That's what basically every Rogan podcast sounds like to me.
But Woody Harrelson sounds like every guy I grew up with.
Is Woody just the leftover residue of hard drugs? I don't know. I don't know about leftover.
He's still doing it.
Roll some of this. They talk about Dr. Peter Hotez.
One of the most fascinating things about COVID, when I was talking to Dr. Peter Hotez, who's an overweight guy who eats junk food, and he's telling me everybody's got to get vaccinated. I'm like, are you healthy? Like, are you healthy? Because you don't see, do you work out? Like, do you eat well? Do you take vitamins? No. None of those things. But you think that, like, chemicals, that the only way that you're going to get healthy is from a laboratory and an injection. That doesn't seem real. That seems crazy.
Well, the whole notion is to bolster your immune system's response to this specific item, right? But so if your immune system's strong,
right,
you really have nothing to fear.
Well,
if
that's
your immune system's weak, you have also a lot to fear by taking a vaccine that can... This recent one actually hurts the immune system. It harms the immune system.
Especially with repeated
doses.
At least
old people should get vaccinated. Should old people get vaccinated? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean,
every stone conversation I had in
any sort of
1996.
Dr. Birx is now admitting this when she's being questioned. Is that they?
All right, you got it.
For those who don't recall, Dr. Peter Hotez, I believe, is from the Baylor University, as far as the infectious disease categories go. He's the fat guy with the scruffy hair and the mustache that was wearing a bow tie on CNN during the pandemic. And it looks like he just walked out of a laboratory where he hasn't seen the sun in 30 years. So that's that guy. It's just amazing to me that so many people, your best defense for an immune system is to live a healthy lifestyle, right? Like, if you eat well, if you exercise, if you everything in moderation, you shouldn't need somebody on television. Like, you know, the other guy that really ticked me off during the pandemic was when CNN trotted out Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Read about Sanjay Gupta's background. He's not a epidemiologist. He's not a Fauci, a Redfield, or any of those other people that studied in that area. He's worked on head injuries and back injuries. And he's telling me about COVID? I mean, Harry, would you go to a podiatrist for COVID advice?
No, I'd go to Dr. Jill Biden. I mean, she's a fantastic physician.
And she's a Philly girl.
Exactly. Will Grove, I think.
Exactly. So, by the way, how long is Woody Harrelson closer to Joe Biden's mental state than me?
No, look,
he's making shots.
Woody's making some interesting points. I'm not talking about his.
I know.
The points he's making. I'm talking about. Well, first of all, nobody should get medical advice from anything on the Joe Rogan show. But it's just the way he says it. You know what I mean? Like, he just sounds like every stoned a-hole
I
knew.
But that's the point. You say you shouldn't get medical advice from Joe Rogan. Obviously, you shouldn't. But after the way these doctors acted during COVID, do you really trust them with 100% certainty after what they told us was categorically wrong almost across the board?
Remember the listeners who are listening to this, the core of the listeners, like my sons, right? You're looking at mostly teenage guys or early 20s guys what were they, what happened to them during this pandemic? What happened to them? They were blocked from their school. They lived in our area. They were basically forced to get a COVID vaccine and had to live under the mandates. So their football seasons were demolished, mm-hmm. which impacted scholarships, or if they were, for the older ones, their college, you know, college, the whole situation. I mean, seriously, I know so many people who lost scholarships, lost opportunities. So they are very interested in the fact that they're having a conversation about this and the science. And I think to them, it's very personal.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think the young generation, that was my big take late last week, that a lot of this with voting for Trump this time around, mm-hmm. not necessarily because you're a conservative, maybe not even because you're a Republican, but it's a defiant act against what you were denied by the last 4 years. Yeah. And they're ticked off.
So, by the way, Professor and Dr. Peter Hotez, who's a pediatrician and biggity big doctor out of Houston, an expert, he is defending, he's on, you know, social media defending Fauci.
Oh,
and
of course.
Was angry with Elon Musk, remember, when Musk had, like, put out on social media, prosecute Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to, where were we at here? Sorry. I want to talk about the, actually, no, let's finish up with the FBI, shall we, over the weekend. I think this was Friday. Cash Patel was officially sworn in. This is cut 17. This is his first statement as an FBI director. Roll it.
I promise you the following. There will be accountability within the FBI and outside of the FBI. And we will do it through rigorous constitutional oversight starting this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. I'm hoping he can do this, but mm-hmm. boy, that's easier said than done, isn't it?
Oh,
there's a lot of FBI swamp creatures that are embedded in there that are going to be hard to snuff out.
Hard to believe that actually, you know, you
and see, I don't mean that in a violent sense. I mean, you know, right. Get out of their
jobs. Yeah, you want to root out the corruption.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Tom Homan have some success, Kristi Noem have some success with ICE. We've certainly seen Elon Musk, you know, do his thing with Doge. But I also think it is worth saying, to your point, Stalker, you know, I think we have to temper expectations in every category. Like I've said, I think Bobby Kennedy has his hands full. And with HHS, with Big Pharma, with Big Food, yeah. Those lobbyists, a lot of money, a lot of power. Not every agency or every appointee that has been now confirmed by Senate vote is going to have the wave of success in 30 days like Musk and Homan
like
have.
Musk. Right. Yeah. But did anybody ever hear of this Cash Patel before the last 60 days?
I heard of him in the last 7-8 years because of the Russia hoax and the investigations, and he was one of those guys as a loyalist that was kind of carving out and rooting out the corruption, and you know, in a lot of ways he was like Doge to the Russia hoax, like kind of, you know.
No, that's how he became a rock star.
I think so,
because yeah,
that's how okay. That's how I started to understand who he was.
Yeah, I never heard of him before.
Trump had the all the governors at the White House over the weekend, and he made headlines with the governor of Maine because the governor of Maine is defying the federal mandate with what boys and girls sports, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
What it is. Mm-hmm. So he called her out.
Defying what more than half the country wants,
He called her out, and they had a little back and forth. This is how that sounded.
The NCAA has complied immediately, by the way. That's good. But I understand Maine. Is the Maine here, the governor of Maine?
I'm here.
Are you not going to comply with it?
I'm complying with state and federal laws.
We are the federal law. Well, you better do it. You better do it, because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports.
Yep.
So you better comply, because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one. And enjoy your life after governor, because I don't think you'll be in elected politics.
Wow. You know, I love how they hit Trump back with the, I'll see you in court.
Yeah.
The only place Trump goes to more frequently than court is the golf course.
Golf course.
That
does, yes.
You think courts scare that guy?
No.
34 felony counts, weaponized government, DOJ, AGs, district attorneys. You think that hearing "see you in court" scares that guy? Seriously.
No.
He was shot in the stinking ear, right? And by the way, the PIAA fell in line over the weekend. Very interesting story. Adhering to Trump's policy of and Dawn, you say 50% over 50%. I actually think it's
I think it's way more than that.
I think it's like 90%.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, what a hill to die on.
It is really remarkable.
Yeah. Like that shrew from Maine talking to the president of the United States that way.
Janet Mills. Oh, by the way,
she is a shrew.
By the way,
you should just give Maine back. Give Maine to Canada. Who cares about that state anyway?
By the way, if you guys want to know Janet Mills, this is cut 11. This was her at a Portland drag show.
Here we go.
Yeah, terrific.
Look at that.
I thought that was Lady Gaga.
She's in a Wonder Woman.
She's in a Wonder Woman. She's pouring out of that Wonder Woman costume, by the way. Oh, my Lord.
With her little concertina.
It looks like a stuffed sausage.
Yeah. On second thought, ban TikTok.
Does she have, Dawn, are those pillows in there, or is that her belly fat?
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's not a pillow.
There's a four-letter word that starts with an F, if you want to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fupa.
Yeah.
Men can have them too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Christie, case in point.
It's not gender specific.
It's not.
In the name of inclusion.
Streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Come over here and join us in the fun and frivolity. Please hit the like and subscribe buttons while you're here. If you've not done so, why?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, on just a side note, because obviously, Harry, you had some choice words for the governor of Maine, which, by the way, I have no problem if she wants to shoot her mouth off at Trump. But you're on a losing issue, lady. That's the bigger beef. I don't feel like you need to be respectful.
She says she's going to adhere to federal law. He is the federal law.
Well, yes.
It was a very dumb exchange, honestly.
It was really bizarre. Who's more under your skin, Harry, the governor of Maine or Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks, I watched The Americas last night, and that's what got me going on Tom Hanks. He narrated it.
Okay.
It was actually a really good show. And people regard Tom Hanks as like the greatest actor of all time, and I just don't get it. It caused me to look into his body of work.
Okay.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Does this have anything to do with his terrible parody last week on SNL mocking Trump supporters?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, I'm just checking.
It absolutely doesn't. No.
Okay.
There's about six films, I'd say six or seven films, dating back to the early 80s that I would regard as great that he did.
Yep.
And he hasn't done anything of relevance, at least that I've watched, in 20-some years.
Well,
people still regard him as this great actor.
This is actually a fun exercise.
Yeah.
Like, what would you, like, was he great in Forrest Gump?
Yes.
I thought Forrest Gump was a great movie.
Yeah. It was a great movie.
Castaway?
Castaway was a good movie.
Terrible.
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia was
terrible.
Philadelphia was a good movie.
Those are all good movies.
What, because Bruce sang on the soundtrack?
Turner and Hooch?
Made it great.
Wait, hang on.
Turner
and Hooch is
pure Nick Cale garbage.
Yeah, Turner and Hooch is a great flick. How dare you?
Forrest Gump, I would say, is mid. Castaway is not good.
Oh, come on. These were good movies.
He was good in The Green Mile. I will say that.
Yes. About Big. That was a terrific film. That was a Stephen King book, right?
Saving Private. Big? Yeah. Saving Big.
Big was great.
Big was terrible. There's no. All right. Just from a movie perspective, I get the nostalgia because it was one of the first movies I saw in the theater. Like,
yeah.
From a nostalgia perspective, I think it's a great movie. However, it doesn't really withhold the test of time. Does it?
What about the movie he just did about 10 years ago, Sully, the airline movie?
That was good. Saving Private Ryan, fabulous.
You guys, he's a solid actor. I just wish that he would not.
Oh, he's above solid.
I mean, he's the voice. Oh. He's the voice in Toy Story. So
yeah, he's Woody. Yeah. He's Woody.
My kids. Oh, that's my kids. God.
Yeah, he's Woody.
And he does a good job. He does a good job. I just wish he didn't get involved in politics.
I will actually take it a step further and butt heads with Harry like it's 2012 and we're in the summer mucking and grinding sports when people quit the station.
Come up with a list.
You know, I'm not going to do a list, but I will do a Mount Rushmore. And this is going to trigger everybody that saw the Trump bit last week, which Tom Hanks was not funny in. I would actually put Hanks on the Mount Rushmore of actors.
Wow.
No.
What?
There's only four. I know. I'd go Denzel Washington.
Okay.
I'd go Tom Hanks. And just to show no political bias, I mean, I think De Niro's overrated, but I like Pacino. I would put Pacino up there. So those would be three.
What about Jack Nicholson?
Oh my God, he's fabulous.
Yes, there's my four. Jack, Denzel, Hanks, and Pacino.
I would say.
Hold on. I don't have anybody in the LGBTQ community.
But you're just looking at men.
You're not inclusive enough.
There's no females on there. That's right. I'll work on my female list tonight.
You got to put Meryl Streep.
I will say this after looking at Tom Hanks's body of work. Harry, I think I disagree with you, my friend.
You do.
He's been in some. I would put him on Mount Rushmore, but he's been in some great movies.
Daniel Day-Lewis. What about Daniel Day-Lewis? Is a great actor.
Yeah. Not Mount Rushmore, but he's good.
Played Lincoln. My Left Foot. That movie, My Left Foot. I love that movie. Again.
So what has Hanks done in the last 25 years?
Okay, he's done A Guy Named Otto or something like that.
What?
A Man Called Otto.
I thought you were going to go with Godfather.
Well, yeah, I mean, but Godfather's iconic, Michael. Yes.
Sully was in the last 20 years.
Yeah, Sully was, what, 2012, 2013, something
2016.
Like that. 2016.
Yeah, good.
That was great acting.
Marlon
Brando.
Well, Brando's great too.
Diane Keaton.
Not to be confused with Tim Brando. But I mean, Castaway was 25 years ago. It came out in 2000. The fact that anybody could argue that Castaway is not a great movie.
It's not a great movie.
When you're the only guy in the movie. It's like Will Smith in what's the movie? I Am Legend.
Yes. I Am Legend.
When you can do a whole movie by yourself, essentially, that automatically shows your greatness.
Really?
Yes. It's like talking.
That's a low bar.
It's like doing a radio show by yourself for 4 hours without any cast members.
Right. I used to talk to myself from 10 to midnight.
Exactly.
So, wait, you're saying Will Smith? You'd put him on the Mount Rushmore?
No, not on the Mount Rushmore. But that movie was very good.
All right. Would you put Tom Holman on the Mount Rushmore of Trump Trump appointees?
I would leave my wife for Tom Holman.
He was at CPAC.
And it's this clip as to why I would.
He was at CPAC over the weekend, and he started off his comments like this. Roll it.
How you doing? Hey.
Love his entrance music, too, by the way.
Look. Let me start out by saying this. If I offend anybody today, I don't give a Don't care. The media in the back room, I'm sure I'll be reading a lot of hit pieces on me tomorrow. I don't give a what you think about me. I get asked all the time, does it bother you? It's a big part of this country that hates your guts. I don't care. Because we got a job to do. You know, I wake up every day for the last 4 years pissed off because the Dwight administration took the most secure border in my lifetime and unsecured it on purpose. Right? I worked for 6 presidents starting with Ronald Reagan. Every president I ever worked for took steps to secure the border. Even Clinton Obama took steps to secure the border because they clearly understood you can't have national security without border security. They got it. Joe Biden's the first president in history of the nation who came into office and unsecured the border on purpose. So for 4 years, I wake up every day pissed off. That changed November 5th. Now I wake up every day excited because I work for the greatest president of my lifetime, Donald J. Trump.
What a speech. I saw that come out over the weekend. And that's what I love. I love when guys that back it up then come out there and start shooting their mouth off. You don't like it? I don't care. Too bad. I'm good at what I do. And he's one of these guys, like Harry, like he genuinely loves what he is salivating at the bit every day to deport criminals and make America safe. I love the dude.
Yeah. He's kind of like Trump. I don't think he sleeps.
No, he doesn't.
You know,
he looks like hell, too.
These guys are just wired differently, man. But I just can't get past the lisp. Like, I can't listen to him talk for very long. It's kind of like RFK.
Yeah, he does sound like he has marbles in his mouth.
Yeah, but I have so many.
He's like a WWE character.
Yeah, but I have so many relatives, like, you know, great Uncle Artie talk. Like, I'm so used to it, it doesn't bother me.
Is he alive, Uncle Artie?
No.
Oh.
So he went head-to-head, too, with the Boston police commissioner who doubled down on refusing to help ICE. He said to the police commissioner in Boston to take the badge off your chest. This has got 25. Phil, go.
I read a story last night. The police commissioner of Boston. You said you doubled down on not helping the law enforcement officers of ICE. I'm coming to Boston. I'm bringing hell with me.
Yes.
Oh, take that whole city out.
Oh,
hideous.
I'm bringing hell with me.
I'm
hideous
taking the city Celtics
anyway.
Out. Yeah. The Red Sox, they're all done. You're done.
Joel Embiid just went, thank you.
Send Embiid to
I looked at the numbers this morning. I stopped counting at nine. Nine child rapists that were in jail in Massachusetts, but rather than honoring an ICE detainer, release them back into the street.
Oh my God.
You're not a police commissioner. Take that badge off your chest, put it in the desk drawer, because you became a politician. You forgot what it's like to be a cop.
There you go.
Tom Homan is everything we want out of our football coach in Philadelphia. Like, if Tom Homan was the Eagles coach, he would be beloved.
They'd have a statue of him already.
He's Buddy Ryan-esque with deportations and upholding border security. But it's amazing. So we have the Maine governor. We have the Boston Police Department chief. All of these people that are doubling and tripling down.
Yeah.
It is amazing. The Democrats are not backing off of any of their stances 4 months removed from losing.
Mm-hmm.
It is wild. Now, maybe that changes in 2026 with primaries, with different possible politicians that emerge. But right now, the current incumbents, for the most part, boy, they are going along kicking and screaming, aren't they?
They think that it's already turning.
Well, because a couple of polls.
Yeah, I'm reading there. This is a guy who ran Kamala's campaign, I believe. I know four people at risk of losing their homes after Trump fired them via contract cancellations or layoffs. Has anybody considered the impact of 300,000 job losses? And they think that this is all going to this is all turning within the next month. It's going to turn back towards anti-Trump. They actually believe that.
Well, that was what Carville kind of parroted on the Dan Abrams podcast.
Yeah. Yes.
But he also said that Kamala Harris was going to win. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody should take what Carville says seriously. The guy.
He went after Stephen A., didn't he?
Yeah. I used to think that he was kind of a brilliant political mind. And then
me too.
I realized that he's just a hack.
Or now he's just so inundated with his own media that he's just out there giving out takes.
His points about the Democrat Party are not wrong, though. I will say this. Like, he is correct where they need to stop doubling down on woke and all that nonsense and get back to it's the economy, stupid, which was his line.
Oh, is that right? That's his?
Yeah, but he's...
Yeah, that was his.
Yeah, he's... his time has come and gone as far as predicting elections go. Speaking of deportations, this is a CBS report that illegal crossings at the southern border are down 94% from last year. This is cut 19. Phil, go.
Over the past week, Border Patrol has apprehended an average of 285 migrants per day along the entire southern border. He says that's down 95% from the same time last year. Banks credited the decline with the increased federal and state assistance that Border Patrol has received.
The strong law enforcement posture that we have out there with our partners assisting us from the DOD to the Texas National Guard, we're being able to send a message that if you cross the border, your chances of being apprehended are much greater. And if you are apprehended, you're going to be removed from the country.
How about that? Be upset with that.
I know. How about CBS actually sharing and reporting that? You know, all the things that Trump wants to fix, some are more difficult and take longer amounts of time than others. Securing the border, as long as you want to do it, should be a relatively easy thing to, you know, fulfill, right? I mean, there's,
I don't know that it's easy.
Well, I mean, there's a body of water or there's a bunch of dirt. And then there's like a fence, and there's a wall,
there's like a fence.
And there's dudes with guns, and there are people that vet you. As long as you have the resources, and that's what it comes down to, investing in bodies, in border patrol, and having the cash to pay these people, it should be like, you know, securing an arena, securing a bank, this, you know, creating, you know, these, you know, things that prevent you from going from point A to point B. It's really not a complicated process. You just have to want to do it. That's my point.
Yeah, and who could be upset with that?
Yeah.
That's what the hills that they die on, to me, you know, the trans stuff, the lack of a border. Like, how can you support that?
Well, and how can you be against it when it was Hillary, and it was Bill, and it was Joe,
right?
And it was Obama? All of these things, whether it's DOGE and gutting federal bureaucracy or securing the border and deporting illegal criminals, these are the same things that Hillary and Bill were saying verbatim 20
and
years
Obama.
Ago. And Obama.
Also, the Steve Kornacki was reporting on, I think it was Meet the Press over the weekend, that like the majority of people, like 59% of Americans, agree with the border policy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's an
and
NBC.
I think that's low.
And that's an NBC News poll, so I'm guessing it's probably low.
Yep.
Because you're right, Harry. There's going to be people who are like, no, I'm not for that. When secretly, you damn right, they're for it.
Mm-hmm. Of course they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And 59 is a peculiar number. That's
Isn't
what
it?
I mean. That's why I think it's a fake number.
We have so much more, but we should take a break and continue on the other side. I have Tulsi Gabbard. I have Pete Hegseth. I have Trump at CPAC. I have Ilhan Omar mocking stupid Americans.
Kathy, oh, I saw that.
Kathy, I love how Greg keeps the show on track. It's
Kathy Hochul.
Brilliant.
That's what I'm trying to do here. Kathy Hochul. All right. Should we take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Wawa, where you can get the meal deal that you really want. Wawa's $5 big breakfast deal gets you any sizzly, any size hot or iced coffee, and a hash brown.
Yeah.
For just $5.
Hash brown.
Coffee, sizzly, and hash brown.
Come on.
$5.
Wawa.
Mornings made easy. Gotta have a Wawa. Mm. Gotta take a break. Back after this.
Got to talk about my guys at Marvin E. Cans, because keeping your home warm and efficient and safe in wintertime, that's paramount, right? And that's why I've always got my guys at Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning out to get my home winter ready and keep the system fully maintained. Marvin E. Cans, they're local, third generation owned and veteran, military veteran founded company. Take my advice. Just call Marvin E. Cans. Get your furnace checked for winter. Or if it's coming up on spring, just get it checked and sign up for that routine maintenance. That's what I've done. If the folks there at Marvin E. Cans, if the guys that come out feel your unit needs to be replaced, they're going to give you an honest assessment at a fair price and install a high-efficiency train furnace, T-R-A-N-E, hard to stop a train. Contact my guys, Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. That's Marvin E. KANZE.com, MarvinEcans.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.